All right, well, I hope you do have your Bibles tonight. We're going to be in Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 15 is where we'll begin reading tonight. This is our seventh message in the book of Exodus. And as you know, seven is the number of perfection. Now, that doesn't mean this message is going to be perfect. I'm just saying. But anyway. All right. Exodus 2 verse 15. Let's read it tonight. The Bible says, "Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, which was Jethro, their father, he said, 'How is it that you are come so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock.' He said unto his daughters, 'And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread.' And Moses was content to dwell with the man. He gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, 'I have been a stranger in a strange land.'" And that's where we're going to stop tonight. May God add His blessing to His Word. You'll see tonight in verse number 21 that Moses, now about 40 years old, gets married to a woman named Zipporah. So I don't know if anybody of y'all knew that Moses got married, but he did here. Some of you may know that Monica and I's anniversary is coming up on March the 16th. We've been married for 2 years now, which has been awesome. It's flown by so fast. But marriage is an awesome thing. And it got me thinking about this church. They were holding a marriage seminar. And the pastor came up to one of his members whose name was Luigi. And Luigi's 50th wedding anniversary was approaching with his wife. And the pastor approached him and said, "Can you share some insight on how you managed to stay married to the same woman for nearly 50 years?" And Luigi said, "Well, of course I'd like to." Well, Luigi stands up at the marriage seminar and he says, "Well, I tried to treat my wife well. I spent money on her. But the best thing I ever did was take her to Italy for our 20th wedding anniversary." Well, the pastor stood up a few minutes later and said, "Luigi, we want you to know that you are such an inspiration to every husband here. But can you please tell us what you plan to do for your wife on your 50th wedding anniversary?" And Luigi looked at the crowd and replied, "I'm going to go back and get her from Italy." Some of y'all get that when you get home. Had a happy marriage. They've been apart for 30 years. Anyway, Luigi's a good guy. Last week, we looked at the book of Exodus chapter number 2. And we saw that Moses had his life figured out like a lot of us do. We have exactly what we're going to do next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 50 years. We have it all planned out, and it always works out that way, doesn't it? No. Moses had it all figured out. He was going to set his people free. He was going to deliver them from slavery. He was going to take them into the promised land. He was going to be their leader, and everything would turn out good. Moses had big plans. Moses had big dreams. But last week we saw in one action, in one day, all of those plans, all of those dreams came crashing down. Because the Bible says that His ways are not our ways. His plans are not our plans, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And sometimes in order for God to get us on His plans, He's got to ruin our plans first. And that's exactly what happens in the life of Moses. Moses' plans get ruined so that he can finally get on God's plan. Last week we saw Moses had a plan though. He wanted to set the people of Israel free. And the way he was going to do that, at least starting out, was killing the Egyptians one by one. And that's exactly what he did. He killed an Egyptian and he went and hid him in the sand, hoping nobody would find out. But the next day he goes out to the slave yard once again, and not only did some of the Hebrew people find out, Moses found out that Pharaoh knew about his murder. Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth, now knows what Moses did to one of his men. And Pharaoh is now seeking, verse 15 says, to do the exact same thing to Moses, to kill Moses. So Moses now is faced with another big decision. Stay here in Egypt and have Pharaoh take care of me, or run for my life and give up my plans and my dreams. And verse 15 says that's exactly what Moses did. Moses fled, is what the Bible says, from the face of Pharaoh. And it says he went and he dwelt in the land called Midian. Now Midian, if you were to look on your map today, is not there. It's on the map labeled Saudi Arabia. So it's in the desert region of Saudi Arabia right now. And it was there, here's what's important, that Moses would spend the next 40 years of his life on the backside of a desert wilderness being a shepherd to a bunch of sheep. My, how things have changed for Moses. Went from being up here at the top to having everything a man could ever ask for to being all the way down here at the bottom with nothing in just a matter of hours. Moses would be there for the next 40 years, not fulfilling his dreams, not doing what he imagined he'd be doing at this point in his life, but he's sitting in a desert wilderness. Now, from a human standpoint, he didn't do anything here for the next 40 years for God. From a human standpoint, Moses was wasting the most precious years of his life, the years 40 to 80. And from our standpoint, nothing of value was done in these 40 years that he spent in the wilderness. But here's what's important. From God's viewpoint, these 40 years that Moses spent in the wilderness were the most important years of Moses' life. Because it was there in a remote, dry region of solitude that God would make, mold, break, and prepare Moses for the task He would call him to. See, Jonathan Edwards, the great American preacher, once said, he said, "It is the manner of God that before He bestows any mercy on His people, to first prepare them for it." Before God gives you anything, He's got to prepare you for it first. What that is saying is, if you have an 8-year-old, I don't know if that would be 2nd, 3rd, 4th grade, whatever, I'm not good at math. If you have this 8-year-old and he's the smartest kid in the class, he's intelligent, and he makes straight A's, does that mean you're going to send him straight to Harvard Law School as an 8-year-old? No. Even though he's smart, even though he's intelligent, even though he makes straight A's, you're not going to send him straight there. But for the next 10 years of his life, you are going to prepare him to get there. So that when he gets there, he'll be successful. So that when he gets there, he will be prepared for what is coming to him. And the thing about that is, God does the exact same thing with you and me. Before He sends us to the place He wants us, before He puts us in the place He wants us for the thing to do what He's called us to do, He does not take us from point A to point B. Sometimes He goes from A to C to D to Z and then all the way back to B. Because those points that He takes us to prepares us for where He really wants us. Before He can work through us, God must work in us. And that's what He's doing with Moses. He wanted to use Moses to be a blessing. But before Moses could be a blessing to others, God had to work in him first. Now, here's kind of sort of the bad news about this. You know, middle school is a place where you get prepared for high school. High school is a place you get prepared for college. College is a place you get prepared for the real world. So all these schools are schools of preparation for the next stage of your life. God has the same exact school for you and me. A school where He prepares us for what is coming next in our life. And here's kind of the bad news about God's school of preparation. The school of preparation that God sends His children to is not luxurious. It's not rich. It's not comfortable. And as a matter of fact, most of the time it's not even fun. Because it is a place called the wilderness. The wilderness is the place God sends us to prepare us. Now, the wilderness is not a physical location that God sends us to in the middle of this world. Listen to what David Jeremiah said about the wilderness. He said, "The wilderness seems to describe the rough patches of life that we all experience." I'm going to read that again. The wilderness describes the rough patches of life that we all experience. You see, the wilderness is a lonely place where thousands of people can be standing all around you, yet you feel like you're the only one there. The wilderness is a dry place where not many rivers of blessing are flowing around you like they are around other people. The wilderness is a tough place where it's hard to show faith. And the wilderness, here's what's good, is a long place. You can see for miles in a desert wilderness. The wilderness is a long place because it seems like the situation we are in will never end or it will never get better. That is the place God sends His children from time to time. It's not a physical, literal place called the wilderness, but it's a place where God makes our circumstances and our situations just like a wilderness. And it's here in Exodus chapter number 2 that Moses finds himself in a dry, dark, lonely place in life. And you know, it's easy for the devil to come to us and say, "You're the only one who's there." That's what he does when we're there. He's saying, "You're the only one who's ever been here. There's something wrong with you." But just in case you think that, God does that with all of His children. God sent, if you're a child of God, it is a requirement for us to visit the wilderness. Because I want you to listen to this. Before Moses led the Exodus, he spent 40 years in the wilderness. Before Israel entered the Promised Land, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Before Jesus started His public ministry, He spent 40 days in the Judean wilderness being tempted by the devil. Moses, Israel, Jesus all spent that time in the wilderness before they went to the place God wanted them. David spent 13 years in the wilderness, wandering around, running from Saul before he became the king of Israel. And Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, before he spread the gospel to the world, he spent some 3 years in this same desert Moses was in before he went out and started sharing the gospel. All of God's children experience this dark, dry, tough place called the wilderness. And the question that we have when it happens to us is the same question Job asked. Why? Right? Why am I going through this rough patch? Why is this happening? Why would a good, loving Father send me something like this? Where we're lonely, where we're tired, and where our circumstances make us struggle every day. Here's the answer we find in the Bible. Because it's in that place that we learn God's ways. It's in that place that we are humbled and tested by God. It's in that place where we learn to trust and obey God. And it's in that place we are disciplined as God's children. You say, where's that? It's in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 says this. God is speaking to Israel about the 40 years they just had in the wilderness. God says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Why? To humble thee. And to prove thee, or to test thee. To know what was in thine heart. whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or not. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell for these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that, as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens or disciplines thee. So God says, remember why I led you to the wilderness, to humble you, to test you, to see what was in your heart, and to discipline you as my child. That is the reason why God sent Israel to the wilderness, and it's the very same reason God sends you and I through these rough patches of life. And today there are so many listening right now. You may have walked through the doors of this church tonight, and you are going through this wilderness as we speak tonight. And from the life of Moses, just for the next few minutes, I want to encourage you with these three truths that we find in his life. Preaching on, though it's a wilderness, though it is a wilderness, I'm going to give you three things that we can do in the wilderness, or we can trust. Are you ready? Shake your head. All right. Though it is a wilderness, number one, God provides. Though it is a wilderness, number one, God provides. Look at verse 15. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And you need to really underline that, circle it, star it, whatever you want to do. He sat down by a well, because here's what you need to know. Though it was a wilderness for Moses, God provided a well for him. Now here is what's the amazing part about that. You may not get it. Usually in the desert, there's no water. Usually in the desert, there's no crops. There's no vegetation. In the desert wilderness, there's literally nothing. But out of nowhere, as Moses is walking along through this desert, through this wilderness, it's almost like it pops down straight from heaven. There is a well that is filled to the top with water. And though Moses had been on this long journey, he was tired, he was weary, he couldn't find anything in the wilderness, he came to this well and he found refreshment. Showing me this, that even in the wilderness, God provided for Moses' needs. Even in the wilderness, God provided for Moses' needs. And you see, when you and I are in the dark places of our life, the dry places of our life, the tough places of our life, do you realize God has also provided for us a well where we can stop and be refreshed right where we are, right in the middle of the wilderness? You say, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. John chapter number 7, verse 39, Jesus said this, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Out of his inner being shall flow rivers of living water. John chapter number 4, he's talking to the woman at the well. And Jesus looked at her and said, "He that drinks of this water shall thirst again. But he that drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. And that water shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life." So the Bible says when you and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He places a well on the inside of us. And you see, when we walk through the dark, dreary, dry places of this life, when we get tired, we get lonely, and it seems like we're without comfort, God has already placed a well on the inside of us to give us refreshment. And that well, if you hadn't recognized it yet, is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit. And He is the one who gives us the refreshment that we need in this life. Whatever we need, the Holy Spirit already has it. You see, if the Holy Spirit didn't have everything we need, He wouldn't be God. God already has every single thing we need, and it's already on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is all sufficient. He's all powerful. And so often in this world, when we get tired and thirsty in our soul, He brings refreshment to us right where we are. And you see, though life is a wilderness for us, God has given us a comforting, refreshing well to drink from. But here's the thing I want you to know. I underlined it here because it's important. God may not deliver us out of the wilderness, but He gives us just what we need to sustain us through the wilderness. God may not deliver us out of the wilderness, but He gives us just what we need to sustain us through it. And what He has given us is the comfort of the Holy Spirit no matter where we are. You see, though it was a wilderness for Moses, God provided a well for him. Listen, though it was a wilderness for Jesus, God provided strength to defeat the devil for those 40 days. Though it was a wilderness for David, God provided patience for him to keep on keeping on. And though it was a wilderness for the nation of Israel, God provided every single thing they needed. The Bible says for 40 years they wore the same clothes, yet they didn't get old. For 40 years they walked around in circles, yet their shoes didn't wax old or get tired or get wore out. And for 40 straight years, every single morning the nation of Israel woke up, there was bread on the ground that God had provided to sustain them through every single day. And you see, God does the exact same thing with us. Though we are walking in the wilderness, a dark, dry place, He gives us what we need, when we need it, every single day we're in the wilderness. And it comes through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. He provides our needs right where we are. You see, though we walk in these places that are lonely, that are tiresome, God still provides there too, doesn't He? He still provides there too, and we can bless Him today for it. Number one, though it's a wilderness, God provides. Number two, though it's a wilderness, we can serve right where we are. We can serve right where we are. Let's look at verse 16. Moses is here. He's now sitting down by a well. The priest in that town, he had seven daughters. And they came to draw water from this well in order to feed their father's flock. Well, as they're there, you can imagine there's this 40-year-old man and then here comes seven women walking up. More than likely, they don't speak a word to each other. They're just sitting there in silence. But then all of a sudden, verse 17 says, some other shepherds came along. And these shepherds were rude, they were cruel, they were mean. And they look at these seven women and they basically say, you don't belong here. You can't be here. This is our place. This is our water. This is our well. You need to get out of here. And they probably start persecuting him a little bit. Well, guess what Moses did? Moses always had a heart for people. So Moses sees this happen and he says, I'm not going to let this happen. So Moses stands up and the wording here is good. Verse 17. Moses stood up and helped them. He helped them. You see, Moses, right where he was, where God had sent him through his own mistake, Moses helped others. And here's what's interesting about this. If anybody needed help during this time, you know who it was? Moses. Moses didn't have a home. Moses didn't have an extra pair of clothes. Moses didn't have any friends, family behind him. Moses didn't have a place to eat. Moses didn't have a place to drink. If anybody needed help, it was Moses. Yet, you find Moses standing up and helping somebody else. And you see, the greatest way for us to make it through these wilderness experiences that we go through is though we know we're the ones who need help, is to realize at the same time God can use us to help others. You see, we can serve God right where we are. And so often, if you're like me, we're waiting on God to open doors for us to serve in the right place. Say, God, you know, I'll serve you when you open this door. I'll serve when you provide this door to open and I can come into this place or that position or something. Then I'll serve you, God. But what God is doing is right here in this room, He wants us to serve Him until He opens the door to the next room. And you see, Moses could have looked at God and said, you know what, God, I'm not serving until you take me back to Egypt and let me lead my people out of Egypt. I'm just going to sit here until you open the door. No, no, no. Moses said, you know what, I'm just going to serve right where God put me. Right where I ended up. And he stood up and he helped these women. And it turns out one of them became his wife. Because Moses said, I will serve God right where I am. And you see, though we walk through a wilderness in our life where everything's not right, where everything's kind of off, unbalanced, tough, God wants us to still serve Him right where we are. And that's what we can do in the wilderness. Though it's a wilderness, number one, God provides. Though it's a wilderness, number two, we can serve right where we are. And though it's a wilderness, number three, and I'm done, we can be content. I want you to look at the wording here used in verse number 21. Moses helps these women. They go back home to their father, and their father says, how in the world did you come back so soon? It usually takes you a whole lot longer than this. Well, they said, well, there was a man there who gave us water, who helped feed us, who gave water to the flock, and he just helped us. And their father looks at him and said, well, where in the world is he? Why didn't you bring him back so we could bless him since he blessed you? And they said, well, we'll go get him. So they go and get Moses and bring him back to the house of Jethro. And the Bible says in verse 21 this, and Moses was content to dwell with the man. He was content. That's an awesome word that we all could use in this life. You see, Moses' thoughts could have been, I'm not going to be happy until God takes me back where I want to be. I'm not going to be happy until I'm in the place that I want to be, until my plans prosper. But Moses said, you know what? I'm just content right where I am. And you know, that would help me, that would help us if we could take that same faith and attitude into our lives. Because most of the time our thoughts are usually, man, if this situation would just get better, I'd be happy. Right? If this situation would get fixed, I'd finally be content. But what God is trying to tell us, I believe, in verse 21, is that in His strength, even if it doesn't get better, even if the healing doesn't come, even if the situation doesn't change, we can be content and happy in Him. You say, how is that? Paul told us. In Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Did you hear what he said? I don't know if we think about it. I can do all things. Paul just did not say, I can do the happy things, I can do the good things, I can do the easy things, I can do the peaceful things through Christ. But what he's saying here is, I can also do the hard things. I can do the things that make me worry. I can do the things that make me anxious. I can do the things that make me filled with fear. I can do all of those things because it is Christ that is strengthening me even in my wilderness experience. He said, I can do it not because I'm a super Christian. I can do it because the Son of God lives on the inside of me. And I not only can do it, I can be content in it. Because if I'm here, that means God wants me here. If I'm going through this, that means God wants me to go through this. And God in His sovereign plan has brought it all together. One of the greatest things that I learn in our Bible is that Jesus is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. Who shepherds us, His sheep. And you know, shepherds and sheep are out in the field all day, all night. So often when they're out in the field, especially in the dark like it is right now, storms come up. And you know, when storms come up out in the field with all of those sheep and only one shepherd, you know what the shepherd doesn't do? He doesn't look at the sheep and say, sorry, y'all got to figure this out on your own. You know what he does? The shepherd already has a place in mind over here. That has a covering, that has a refuge, that He can look at His sheep when the storm is brewing and say, follow Me. I've already got a place provided where we can be safe. And the only thing the sheep got to do is listen, follow His lead. You see, it's not the sheep's job to figure out where to go. It's not the sheep's job to provide their needs. It's not the sheep's job to see where they're supposed to go. The only job the sheep has is to listen and follow what they hear. And what they hear is the shepherd's voice. And you see, in the storms of our life, you know this, you're not going to be able to see God. In the storms of our life, you're not even going to be able to feel God. But the good news is this. If you listen close enough, you'll be able to hear His voice calling out to you, giving you comfort, giving you hope, and giving you guidance and direction. If you'll just listen close enough, He's always talking, guiding. You see, when the wilderness comes, when the valley comes, when the storm comes, the shepherd doesn't leave. He gets even closer. And he says, just follow My lead. Just follow My voice. And you see, in our wilderness experience, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit leads us every step of the way. And I don't know about you, but that's a comfort to me tonight. To know that in these valleys, He doesn't leave. He leads. Some of y'all know this song. You probably sung it growing up. The old song that says, God leads His dear children along. It's one of my favorite songs. Now, I'm not a singer, but when God puts a song in your heart, you just got to do it. The song goes like this. God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. That's what it says. He's going to lead us all sometimes in different ways. Sometimes He's going to lead you through the water, through the flood, through the fire. But you can bank on one thing. He'll lead you the whole way. He'll lead us. Because we are His children. He loves you. And He would never leave you to lead yourself. Even in this wilderness we're walking in, count on this. God leads His dear children along. He leadeth us. Father, we thank You so much that You have chosen to make us Your children, that You have caused us to be born again into Your family because of Your love for us. And Father, we thank You that because we are Your children and You have great love for us, You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, but You're a Father who is always there. You're a Father who's always there to offer guidance, wisdom, and counsel. And You're a Father who leads us along every single step of the way. So Father, though sometimes in this life we have no idea where You are, we can't feel You, we can't see You, Lord, we can hear You. If we'll listen closely to Your Word and to Your blessed Holy Spirit, You lead us every step of the way. Thank You for being our Father. Thank You for giving us Your Word and the Holy Spirit who guides us every step of our life. Until we get to glory to spend eternity with You, and there You'll continue to lead us to worship You forevermore. We thank You for Your guidance, for Your wisdom, and for Your counsel. If we'll just seek You out, God, you'll show us the steps to take every step of the way. We love you, but we thank you for first loving us. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen.